Allow your spirit that lives in us to receive your word. Father, we know that you are the word. We know, Father God, that it is only through your word that we are born into your kingdom and transformed into your image. Help us tonight to experience the true word, the true meaning of this season, the true meaning of Jesus. Father God, that you may be glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. And praise the Lord God for His mighty work and His mighty deeds, His mighty word. We just praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Praise His holy name. It's really good to be in Pensacola, Florida. Most of my preaching is throughout the whole world. We've hit every state in the United States in the last 6 years, not only every state, but most every city. And it's really exciting to be here in Pensacola tonight to be a proclaimer of Jesus. I'm not here and excited about Pensacola as a city, because it's just like every other city. I'm excited about what's in the city, and that's people. And people, when they hear the true message of Jesus Christ, they turn from their sins, they repent, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the ministry of us, the church today, to bring the world into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I travel the country and the world, I have found Christians, people that profess to be Christians, ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of Jesus. They won't talk about Him. I've had Christians say, is that all you talk about, is Jesus? I said, there ain't nothing else to talk about. I said, everything else is changing. The world's changing, you're changing, the weather's changing, the universe is changing, but Jesus is the same today as He was yesterday, and He'll be the same forever. So if we're going to talk about something, let's talk about something that doesn't change. Let's talk about something that's real. Let's don't be ashamed of the power of God. Let's don't be ashamed of Jesus. Let's be proclaimers. Most of us are afraid if we get too excited about Jesus, it might hurt our pocketbook. Well, it will. Don't have to be afraid of it. Just know that it will. Amen.
Come on.
Now, I'm going to start tonight in Romans 1:16. And it says this, St. Paul is writing to the church of Rome, and he says, for I am not ashamed of the good news. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God saving all who have faith. In some translations, it goes like this. For the word of God, which is the power of God for salvation to them that have faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the word of God, which is the power of God for salvation to them that have faith. It takes faith to believe in the word of God. You move into the word of God, and from that word, faith is produced. If you're not willing to live the words of Jesus, there is no faith. You can have faith in yourself, faith in the system, faith in your ability to perform. But see, my dear brothers and sisters, we're asked to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in what He's done. Not what we've done, but what He's done. We're to walk in what He's done. We're to proclaim what He's done. We're to live what He's done. And you've heard tonight that the beginning of all of this was the message that Jesus preached. It was one message. He preached it on the Mount of Olives, and He said, "Love your enemy." Can you imagine the overwhelming disgust of the Roman people, the Jewish people, His own people, when Jesus stood up and they were expecting this wonderful deliverer, the Messiah, the one that had come that would redeem them and their land, their dignity. And He stands up and said, "Love those people that are killing you." Don't you know it made Him sick? It made them sick. Don't you know right away they begin to say, "Hey, we picked the wrong dude. This guy got to go." They immediately begin to plan to kill Him. Immediately. And I'm going to tell you today, when we begin to walk in that power, when we begin to walk in that Jesus, when we take the attitude that our lives are like vapors and we're aliens to this world and we're just passing through, when we take that attitude, we will rejoice in the gospel of Jesus. And when we begin to proclaim it, it will be with such authority, authority, that the world will rise up to kill us. We've not had that for 1,700 years. In fact, it's been the church that rose up to kill the world. And just the opposite is supposed to take place. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of His words. I am not ashamed to love my enemy. I am not ashamed to do good to those that hate me. I am not ashamed to bless those that curse me. I am not ashamed to let any man rob my property and I won't ask for it back." When we build our foundation on the Sermon on the Mount, when we build in the one area, see, what I've discovered, what David has discovered, what other people are beginning to discover, if you will build in love, you have to build it in those that are difficult to love. You can't build it into something that you already, that loves you. Jesus said, if you love those that love you, what grace is there in that? If you lend to those that you hope to receive, what grace is there in that? If you do good to those that do good to you, what grace is there in that? So the church, the thing that makes us holy, the thing that sets us apart, is that we love our enemy. We do good to those that hate us. We bless those that curse us. We forgive those that murder us. And when you come into the realization of that, you will begin to build on a foundation that will jump joy in your heart, that the zeal and the enthusiasm of Almighty God will flow, and you won't burn out preaching. I've been preaching hard 6 long years, and it seems like it's only been yesterday. I want to tell you, folks, it's passed so quick it's just almost frightening. Most of the time, preaching 6 hours a day, 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours at night. My brother David come along and cut some of that off for me. And I think it was only to get us both prepared that he'll be preaching over here and I'll be preaching over here. And all of a sudden somebody else is going to come along. They're going to be preaching over here. They're going to be preaching over there. And the Word of God, the true message of Jesus, is going to ring this world. And we will have to make a decision whether either to accept the gospel or reject it. If you reject your enemy, you've rejected Jesus, because He loves them. You see, the only way that we'll ever unite in the one body, in the one mind, the one heart, the one spirit, is to love our enemy. Amen. You got, what, 21,000 different denominations? The only way they'll ever be torn down is if we begin to love one another. The devil is the one that's divided. God's not divided. He came bringing unity and love to the body. I asked him one day, I said, Lord Jesus, why did you start your ministry at a wedding? That's really a dumb place to go to start a ministry. At least it was for me. I'm just, you know, and I'm really honest with God. I don't fool her. Because he knows my heart. I don't, you know, have to put on to him. I just talk to him. And I said, why did you, you know, you went to a wedding and performed your first miracle. And you know what he said to me? He said, I'm in the business of putting people together. I'm not in the business of pulling people apart. I'm not in the business of tearing down. I'm in the business of building. And you and I tonight, you and I have a responsibility to the world to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice that our Father God may be glorified as we choose to love one another. Especially those that don't love us. There's where the grace is. That's where you receive the grace of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, what I'd like to do in the next few minutes is to take you through some scripture that will help you love your enemy. That will help you understand how to love. That will help you walk in salvation. See, our biggest problem today, when we say we've been born again, we've been born in the Spirit, we've been born from above, we're walking in the Spirit of God, is that we seem to be walking, and we walk to this church, looking, and folks, salvation comes as you live the Word. You live it. It's lived. It has to be lived. It's in the living it that we're transformed and molded into the image of Jesus. So what I'd like to do tonight is to show you how to walk out your salvation. How to live your salvation. How to rejoice in your salvation. And the Word of God gives it to us. And it starts by loving your enemy. That's where it all starts. That's where the joy... Listen, when you get in your heart the attitude that nobody can upset you. Son, I don't care what you do, you can't get me sideways. You just can't. Because you see, 8 years ago I died. Have you ever seen a dead man get sideways? You can do anything to him you want to do to it. I mean, folks, you can throw him in a box, he'll lay there. Don't get upset. Drop him, throw him on the floor and kick him around. You can slam him up against the wall. Nothing bothers him. And if we're living in Jesus, we have crucified this flesh. This flesh no longer lives. It no longer directs my life. It no longer mandates to me. I no longer yield to the passion and the desires. I yield to the Spirit of God, and in that I am free.
Hallelujah.
We must begin to love as Jesus loved. Philippians 2:5 says, in your mind, you must be the same as Jesus Christ. In your mind. You folks remember when the lawyer came up to Jesus and he said, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, mind, and soul. And to love, the second is likened to the first, to love your neighbors yourself. Now, folks, most of us living in here tonight, our neighbor would be our enemy. Those people that we are next to and constantly associating with every day has done something that's irritated us and caused us, some of us, great harm. Jesus said you got to love them. Now, according to my Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it said, love is always patient. Now, if you're a Bible teaching church, and you are, you know that in Romans 10:17 it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word. If we're not walking the Word, there is no faith. Faith comes as we walk the Word of God. In Galatians 5:6 it says, what matters in faith is faith that manifests its power felt through love. Faith without love is no good. It don't work. Faith must produce love. Now, when you understand that, you will begin to know that everything Jesus gave us in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, promotes love. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Give to anyone that asks. Do not ask for your property. Back from the man. It promotes love. And it's always toward the enemy. It says that this love is always patient. It's patient. How many of you people in here have arrived at being totally patient in everything? Let me see your hand. All right, now let me give you something. Listen to this carefully because this will show you where we are. If we are Christian, if we're living Jesus, we know of our salvation today, and in that, we have great faith. In that great faith, I am a man filled with the love of God. Faith manifests its power felt in love. Faith, the Word of God that produces faith, the evidence of the faith is love. Jesus said, you will know my disciples, not by their magnificent faith, he said, but by their love for one another. Amen. It's the love for one another that we recognize as Christians, not by our criticism, but by our love. And in my Bible, it says, love is always patient. Faith produces love. Love is patient. If you've got faith in God, you've got love in your heart, you can be patient in any situation. If you're not patient, you're impatient. And if you're impatient, you're walking in fear, which produces hatred, and it will cause you to react to a situation, to change that situation, to fit your lifestyle. A man walking in faith will love everybody, every minute of every day, in every situation and every circumstance. Nothing will pull him off of that love. That love will be patient with your brother, with your wife, with your children, with your neighbor, with your employer, with whoever. You be patient. You ever heard of patience getting a divorce? You got faith in God? We got patience. We can endure anything if we have faith in God. If we know that we are temporary in this life and we're on our way to heaven, my dear brothers and sisters, we should be able to put up with anything. Simple. Said, love is always kind. It's just kind to everybody. Can you imagine leaving the church tonight, pulling up to the stoplight out here, and a brother sitting there, and the light turns green, and he decides he's going to sit for a while? Get out of the way. Move that junk up there. I'm in a hurry. Now, if it was Jesus, you'd sit there for a while. And you'd tell your wife, you just, listen, you'd never honk your horn at him. And you'd tell your wife, shh.
That's Jesus. Jesus said, if you can't love the one that you see, how can you love God whom you've never seen? Each one of you, precious one of a kind, original saints of God, has been formed and molded by God's own personal love and grace. And we're to treat one another with great admiration and love. Great generosity. You know what? It'll begin to heal the body. You listen, when you folks start practicing patience with one another, patience, and you're kind. It said love is never jealous. It is never rude. It is never selfish. It is never boastful or conceited. And here's a great big one for you. It said love never takes offense. Not offended by anything. I don't care what you do, you ain't going to upset me. My peace is in Jesus. My joy is in Jesus. My salvation is in Jesus. My life is encompassed by the Word of God. Who can upset me? My wife can't even upset me no more. Do you know why? Because I begin to see her as an original creation of God. A unique, one of a kind, a rare species. An original. And I go, wow. There isn't any more like her. God made her and throwed away the mold. And I know there's some of you here say, well, thank God for that. I couldn't handle two. But look at it from the way God looks at it. Look at it from the perspective of the Holy Spirit, the magnificent love that God has for each one of us. And we are, enemy or friend, are to love one another the way Jesus loved the world. In my Bible it says, for God so loved the world. That's all of mankind, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would confess Him, believe in Him, follow Him, say the same that He said, would have eternal life. You and I are ambassadors to that. Our weapon is not a pistola, it's the Word. Our weapon is not criticism, it's forgiveness. Our weapon is not destructive or decisive, it's repentant and loving and forgiving. Love's the enemy. Amen. Love is always what? You're all excited about it too, aren't you? I mean, you're overwhelmed by it. Let's try it again. Love is always
faith.
Faith produces
love.
Love is always
faith.
You start practicing that. You will discover love for your enemy. You'll discover it. All of a sudden you won't hurt anymore when somebody makes a mistake. You won't say, oh, get that sucker. Had his last shot at me. Amen. Folks, this is the way we win the world to Jesus. And we've tried the reverse. You're coming in or I'm leaving. They say, for real? Bye. Now, I want to take you to Matthew 6:19, and teach you from Scripture how to begin to walk the walk of love. It's one of the greatest love messages you'll ever hear. One of the greatest love messages. Once you begin to love your brother, once you begin to love your enemy, once you begin to unconditionally love,
These are the things that will begin to happen in you. Matthew 6:19. It says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. Isn't that what it says? Is this the Word of God? Say yes.
Yes.
Who is it written to?
Me.
Say it again.
Me.
Say me again.
Me.
Jesus, tonight, through the power of His Holy Spirit, the Word of God made manifest in the flesh is saying, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. My dear brothers and sisters, you will have to defend and protect your treasures, and in that, you will have to become greedy, selfish, arrogant, and even murderous to protect them. You will become a lover of things instead of a lover of people. We're to love people, not things. We've got people that love this building here a lot more than we'd love this little sister. We've got Catholics. See, I'm Catholic. I can do this. Y'all can't. Now, y'all have to... We'll drive by the church down on 5th and Main and bless ourselves. And go another block and curse a brother that doesn't get through the streetlight fast enough. Go home and beat up your wife. Or cuss your children. But we go by the church, the building that has no life, and we'll bless her, sir. Folks, what are we doing? What have we come to? Jesus said, do not store up for yourself treasures on this earth. And the incredible thing here that as I got to looking at this, He gave us three reference points. He said, where the moth and the rust destroy them. A moth will destroy, rust destroys, or the thief can break in and steal. And then He says, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither the moth nor rust destroy them, or the thief can break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And I'm going to tell you, wonderful people, we make decisions over money and over things that murder our brothers and sisters. No longer need you. We got to have the money that comes into this business. You're fired. Think Jesus ever fire anybody? He didn't fire anybody. Now, they left Him. They left Him by groves when He preached. He never run nobody off. Because He didn't love them. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. All right, let's look at a mall. Do we have malls in Pensacola? Y'all got malls? Y'all, you don't have none. How many of you have ever seen a moth? Well, we're in good shape. So God didn't just pick at something here. He knew what He was. You know, wherever I've preached this, I've found moths. I was in the Philippines. They had moths over there. I just came back from Canada. They had moths up there. South America, they had moths. The only place that I couldn't find the moth was in Haiti. They didn't have moths. Folks, what does a moth do? What does he eat, brother? You were here this morning, weren't you? You're going to have to stay quiet. He eats clothes. All right. Now, this right out here, we know is 12th Avenue, and this is Bow Boulevard. When's the last time that you were coming to this church or any church? On a Sunday morning, all dressed up in your nice clothes, walking down the street, and out of over Pensacola Bay, here comes a whole flock of moths. And just eat your clothes right off of you and left you naked in the street. Did you ever see that? Huh? Never saw that, did you?
Well, then obviously a moth will never eat what you're wearing. It will never attack you. You won't have to walk down the street and beat the things off 5 years. You know, it just won't do that. Then what does a moth eat?
What's in the
clothes? Oh. The moth will only eat those things that you've stored up for later use. It won't eat anything else. But now to show you how smart and intellectual we are in this generation, we've invented mothballs. Now, we're going to get... Listen, folks. If you listen to the message, I know it's hitting you right between the horns. We've never looked at what God was trying to tell us. A moth is a symbol of our greed. If we're Christian, when do we expect Jesus to come back? The only time He can come is the now, because He's a now God. He won't come tomorrow. He won't come yesterday. He comes as a thief in the night. He comes now. We got so much junk stored up, we're not going to want to go. I got to go cash in my IRAs. You know, the stock market has just gone on a flurry. I mean, it's running crazy.